As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
This is The Athletic Hockey Show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of The Athletic Hockey Show. It's Haley, Max, and Sean with you here on this Thursday morning. And we're going to start the show with some breaking news. And we're going to go to our senior bobblehead correspondent, Sean Gentile, live in Pittsburgh. Sean, what's the latest?
Tragic news out of southwestern Pennsylvania today, folks, where Kevin Acklin announced on Thursday morning, Penguins president Kevin Acklin announced that the Yarmer Yager bobbleheads have been stolen. The Penguins are a victim of cargo theft. The giveaway isn't taking place. There's one less reason to pay any attention to that team. Yikes.
And they're playing the San Jose Sharks, too. So it's kind of just like nobody's going to be at that hockey game.
What are all those boxes behind you?
Oh. I have more than enough Yarmer Yager merch in my home. I don't need any more.
These are just my cargo boxes.
Can you imagine that? You're the guy who robs a sea container or whatever, and it's just 10,000 Yarmer Yager bobbleheads.
It's either the best or worst day of your career.
Yeah.
This is Christopher on The Sopranos boosting Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
For 2024.
This has to be local crime.
It's not. It happened in California.
Yeah.
They got shipped clearly from, overseas and made it to California and then got boosted. We love it. There's somewhere going to be let's see, it's March, so we got a while until Christmas, but there's going to be some very confused children wondering why Santa Claus brought them Yarmer Yager bobbleheads.
And why 12?
Why so many? That's the joke of the day, but that did legitimately happen. That just came up as we started recording the show. For any fans who are listening who have tickets to this game, it does sound like you'll still be able to get your bobblehead. They're not just going to like change the bobblehead night, because like people bought tickets to see the Penguins play the Sharks because it was that kind of night, right? So it said fans in attendance. They're going to make people go to the game. Fans in attendance will receive a voucher that includes a one-time scannable barcode that will be required to pick up the bobblehead at a later date. So it's like you have to go to the game to get the voucher. So you can't just skip the Penguins Sharks game on this Thursday evening. You have to go.
They should swap it out. Just pull the plug on the Yager bobblehead and give everyone who shows up like a Drew O'Connor bobblehead or a Valtteri Pustinen bobblehead or a John Ludvig bobblehead.
Or a ski mask to commemorate the history now. So that they too can rob their own cargo someday.
Give him a bobblehead. Give him a bobblehead of a new Penguins power play legend, Lars Eller, who is a member of the first unit at the moment.
Should be a Michael Bunting, Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds bobblehead.
I'm sure that one's coming, honestly.
Hey, hey, he helped them get a point the other night.
That's not helpful for them at this point.
Yeah, that's fair. I actually fired up the old Tankathon for the first time in a while last night, and in my two tries, the one time the Penguins, this is where they're at right now. We were trying not to make this a Penguins pod, but somehow.
It's
the first
far.
Time they got the second overall pick, and then the second time they got the 11th and had to send their pick to the Sharks, didn't have a first rounder.
So you got basically best, losing. Almost the best case scenario for them, and then pretty literally the worst, which is ending up with the 11th pick and having to send it to San Jose, who controls it because of the Carlson trade.
Yeah, that's top 10 protected. So Michael Bunting, stop. Chris Letang, keep being victim to gravity. Seriously, they're in a huge funk, and that's why we're not going to be talking about the Pittsburgh Penguins any longer on this podcast.
We're talking about good teams today.
Sean, I was about to say that. I'm the host.
You're setting me up.
Oh, I wasn't done yet. Dang it. See, Max just sits there and waits for his turn. But that's why sometimes we'll go for like 15 minutes and Max hasn't spoken yet because Sean's ranted and I've started talking. So anyways, today we are not going to be talking about the Pittsburgh Penguins. We're going to be talking about the teams that we believe are actually going to be contenders in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The dust is now settled on the trade deadline, so it feels like a pretty good time to take stock of the playoff race, see where each team's kind of landed. It's something everyone does after the deadline, natural point in the season to kind of reflect on things. And we're going to start in the Eastern Conference because we did just talk about the Penguins, who are not, they're not contenders. Max, who's your biggest contender in the Eastern Conference?
I think it's got to be Florida. I think, you know, and really it's trended that way over the last few weeks. It feels like where popular sentiment's at. I don't think anyone's going to be shocked to hear this, but I think they're the Vegas favorites now, but you just look at the way that they're going. I saw them live a week or two ago and they just look in full playoff form. And you look up and down that lineup, it's so complete. Obviously you want them to be fully healthy going in, but you add Vladimir Tarasenko to that. And all of a sudden it's three scary lines deep, a full decor. And yeah, to me, they're the team to beat, which, you know, very rarely do we see a team go to the cup final in consecutive years, but the way that the East is shaping up, I think we saw the West do a lot more at the deadline. Pretty much just them and Carolina in terms of the splash moves in the East. And I just like the way they're situated a lot better.
Sean?
It's Florida, but Florida's a boring answer, right? So I don't want to restate anything that Max just said. Are we aware that that Igor Shesterkin is playing well at the moment? Like the Rangers are, he shut out Carolina earlier this week. I've gone back and forth on the Rangers multiple times this season, just like I've gone back and forth on them, I think, several times over the last few, because, you know, the forward depth isn't great and they're over relying on the power play, and we're on year two of Shesterkin being like inconsistent, you know, great at times and less so at others. They're a streaky team, and when they're at their best, you're like, this is true top shelf 1A contender stuff from them. That's the way they look, but the problem is they don't look that way frequently enough. But man, if they get 2021 era or 20 or whatever 22 era Igor Shesterkin for a meaningful amount of time moving forward, and they still have, you know, Panarin playing at a super high level and on, the top end talent on that team is sick. And they did bolster their bottom six a little bit. No, I mean, Jack Roslovic and Winberg are not super interesting players, but they're useful. Mm-hmm. So I think you if you look at the East, and if we agree that Florida's separated themselves a little bit, I think it's just as clear to me that especially with what Boston's lack of action at the deadline, on and on and on. I think it's becoming even more clear that the Rangers are kind of alone on that second tier.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to go with the Carolina Hurricanes. I agree that the Panthers are probably the favorite at this point. But if I'm looking at the Canes and you're kind of looking at the path, I actually think they're like the path for any East team is going to be easier than the West. And we'll get to that. But the West is going to be incredibly difficult to get out of. Whereas if you're the Canes, you kind of just have to get by the Rangers. Look, and knock on wood, because we've seen first round upsets before. Boston Bruins last year upset by the Florida Panthers, whereas the Panthers are going to have to get by, yeah, we can laugh, the Toronto Maple Leafs or Boston by round two. So I actually think the Panthers might have, you know, a more difficult route to get out of the East than maybe Carolina does. And I would pick the Canes over the Rangers on most days, unless Igor Shesterkin and Sean, as Sean said, the team stays hot, right? So I like the Canes. I think they got the biggest prize at the deadline in Jake Guentzel. And I think what makes that so exciting is, like, he's probably going to be on the second line, because why would you break up this Svechnikov, Aho duo, and Teravainen's up on that top line right now. So you're going to have line two Jake Guentzel, maybe potentially with Martin Natchez. Like, they picked up Evgeny Kuznetsov. Not sure how that's going to end up working in Carolina, but I like what the Canes did. Freddie Anderson is back. He's not Igor Shesterkin, but we know that that team plays a really good puck possession defensive style. So their goaltending situation just kind of improved, got better without actually having to add anything at the deadline, just based on Anderson getting healthy. And I mean, just like off the ice, I'm glad that he's okay. That's kind of like when we kind of heard what was going on with the blood clotting disorder, that's very scary. So I don't think anyone was even thinking about, when's Freddie Anderson going to play hockey again? But it's nice to see him back. And I love their blue line, and I love the way that this team plays. And we've talked a lot over the last few years about who's going to score goals for the Carolina Hurricanes when it matters most. Well, it's probably going to be Jake Guentzel. So I'm going to go with the Carolina Hurricanes here. But we can debate if we think Boston is a legitimate, like, maybe not a contender, but a challenger. Like, that's what the next tier is, right? Like, we've got the top two contenders, which I believe to be the Canes and the Panthers and the Rangers. So that's our kind of top three. And I think everyone else in the East is just going to be the ones who are trying to spoil it. Like, those are totally the challengers, the disruptors. Is there anyone who we think has legitimate, like, first round upset potential? Is it Boston? Is it Toronto?
Well, I think you're talking about winning a round. I think a lot of these teams can do it. Boston, to me, strikes me as like what we've seen from Carolina the past 5 years, right? Like, they're a really stingy, stout defensive team that I just wonder where they're getting the big goal from. They are better in goal than I think Carolina's been in, this last stretch. But
so everyone apologized to me, by the way, everyone made fun of me for taking Jeremy Swayman in that everything draft. And I just want everyone to say sorry, specifically Mark Lazarus. I'm still pissed.
That is Lazarus.
It was a good call.
He was making fun of me, and he shouldn't have. Anyways, Max, please continue. I'm sorry.
I think more GMs should do that, by the way. Like, GMs who make, you know, so-called shocker picks in the draft should at their press conferences just be like, I just want everyone to... Actually, the Lions GM kind of did that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't that kind of just happen? I think you might have heard a bit about that one.
Yeah, maybe that just seeped into my subconscious. Hey, you are right, Haley. Swayman's been great. So I can see Boston winning around. I think I'll pick them to beat Toronto when that matchup that has become inevitable arrives.
Why would happen?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and can Tampa win a round on somebody? Absolutely, right?
Boston is such a well-coached team. Like, I have a lot of respect for the work that Jim Montgomery's put in and the systems that are there that allow them to they're at 91 points, you know, and we're just like, yeah, whatever, New York this and Carolina that, and we're kind of dismissing Boston. Like, that's a team that's racked up a bunch of points despite having a really if you're grading them against New York and Carolina now and you know, certainly Florida, that is an uninspiring group of hockey players. You look at that roster, aside from, you know, the Pasternak's and the Swayman's and the McAvoy's and the high end there, and you're like, how is this happening?
Mm-hmm.
How are they managing to get this done? I think that's a testament to the coaching staff to get this done in a bridge year, right? More people pick them to fall off and they're going to shoot past 100 points here relatively quickly.
They're third in the league right now.
They're really good. But
it is a lot of OT losses. It is a lot of OT losses. You don't 15. Get anything for that.
They all count, man. Points count. Like it is what it is. So if you're at 91 points on March 14th, like something's gone right. Regardless of the fact that, you know, they're capped out for a year and have a ton of money to spend come summer, all that stuff. The fact that they've, you know, that they're still, you know, cruising for a second place finish in that division at this point is pretty impressive.
A lot of OT losses, Max, but they still have 30 regulation wins, which is 10th in the league right now, I think. So this isn't, I remember earlier in the season, the Leafs had actually only won like 5 games in regulation or something crazy. And they'd had so many OT wins and losses, but you're right. A lot of OT losses.
And there's no 3-on-3 in the playoffs. So I get that. But it does kind of jump out at you a little bit when you look at them.
Sure. Totally.
Yeah.
And that's like the difference, right? Like that's the kind of stuff that stops them from being in the Florida Carolina Rangers
tier, you know, despite the fact that they're third in the league for sure. So I just pulled this up and it's from our friends at BetMGM. If the playoffs started today, I always love looking at stuff like this because it can contextualize some of this a little bit maybe. And this is kind of what we mean. So if the playoffs started today, the first round would be Panthers Islanders. Islanders have looked better under Patrick Waugh. Defensively good. They have some like good offensive players. We're talking about Noah Dobson and Matt Barzal, etc. Do we think the Panthers are going to get past, or do we think the Islanders can get past Florida? Like maybe it could be a fun series, but I don't think so. Like the Panthers have been, I don't think we can overstate how good the Panthers have been this season.
Islanders got to get past the Buffalo Sabres, baby. Right. That's a big game.
Hold that. And then it was Bruins, Leafs in the other bracket, Canes, Flyers. So again, I think that speaks to Carolina having a little bit of an easier path than it's Rangers, Lightning. So for Carolina, they'll have to get past the Rangers to get to the conference final, whereas the Panthers would have to get past a combination of the Islanders, Bruins, and Leafs. By season's end.
We think Islanders will be the three in the Metro, right? It'll be Islanders, Canes, and it'll be Flyers, Panthers. I never count out the Islanders from doing anything. We've seen them do some damage in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Florida be a tough matchup to do it against. I think they can play the kind of game the Islanders want to play with stars, right?
But yeah, especially if Bobrovsky can like match up a good Sorokin series too, right? Like I just think the Panthers have an answer to everyone's like thing that they have that does really well for them. So that's if the playoffs started today. And Max, you're right. I think there'll be a little bit of jumbling with the Metro top three and the wild card teams. But as Sean mentioned, there's a team that's making things a little bit interesting here. I was doing the Merrick show yesterday and he was like, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but the Buffalo Sabres are 5 points back of a playoff spot. He's like, do we think they can do it? Are we hopping back on the Sabres wagon here on the Athletic Hockey Show?
I've been burned before. And ultimately, they're going against the Islanders. They're going against the Wings. They're going against the Lightning. Those are the teams that they're going to have to jump. And I didn't mean to like gloss over this. The Islanders are playing really well. Like that's a hockey team that, you know, we'll go back a month. I know it's kind of arbitrary, but we'll go back to February 14th. The Islanders are third in expected goals percentage, fifth in actual goals percentage, third in goals for per 60, way down in goals against. So it's like this is a team that
I did indeed say that they've been playing very well under
I'm saying that I unwisely have, you know, in my haste my love for the Buffalo Sabres. Like I just think that's they're so easy to root for a bunch of reasons.
But you've glossed over the fact.
I've glossed over the Islanders.
They're really going to keep that spot. Yeah,
of course, because they're 5 points out of everything. They've played more games than the teams they're going up against. Obviously, Buffalo and the Islanders are playing tonight, and that's the main reason we're talking about this. It's a huge game. Shout out to the Islanders too, because they've figured it out in a meaningful way, and especially in the Metro Division, and especially or the wild card race, either or, you know, the way that they're playing is so it's head and shoulders above everybody else. Really going back several weeks now, and that's what it's going to take. It's going to take some run like that for some meaningful amount of time for them to rise above the muck. And it seems like they're in the best spot, you know, to do that.
Yeah, we're glossing over them for the best reason, which is that they've just clearly separated themselves as the team that, yeah, they're going to get a wild card, right? Mm-hmm. Like I know they are behind Philly in the standings, but I've just kind of mentally penciled them into the three in the Metro because of how good they look and how much more confident I am in their total build, starting with Sorokin. That's if we're glossing over them, it's for that reason. It's because
I don't think the Flyers are going to be the Metro 3 team. It's going to be the Islanders. The Red Wings have lost 6 in a row.
Yep.
Max, can did you we know just that? Take
I heard from a few people actually.
are they toast out of the playoff picture? I'm not trying to set you up for some kind of like crappy tweet where Max Boltman says Red Wings are cooked, but are they kind of out of this race?
It's a big week for them is what I'll say. They're playing without Dylan Larkin, and I know that alone can't be the reason they've lost 6 in a row. It's a big reason they've lost 6 in a row, and he's not back yet. And I wrote off their loss in Buffalo the other night, which was really, really ugly. They were down 4-1 after one, and it could have been worse.
Yeah.
Basically, their job right now is to make sure that Dylan Larkin still has a playoff race to come back to when he gets healthy, which we think is going to be sometime next week. And they have a schedule that should, being the operative word, allow that. Arizona tonight, Buffalo, Pittsburgh. You got to take at least 2 of those 3. They're not cooked yet, but I think if they can't put something together here and they let themselves get 5 or 6 points back with 13 or 14 games left, that becomes a huge hill to overcome. Mm-hmm. They're in trouble. Like that, you are really seeing how thin their lineup gets at center without Dylan Larkin in terms of pace setting guys that can win pucks for their skilled wingers that have been, you know, everyone's talked about their shooting percentage all year. If you don't have guys who can get your shooters the puck, you very quickly become extremely beatable. And that's what's happened. Mm-hmm.
How much should we read into Steve Yzerman not doing anything at the deadline? Like, are there conclusions to draw on that with regards to his feelings about the current iteration of the team?
Well, I think he viewed it as a vote of confidence, right? Like because you remember you come into a year as the Red Wings, and I think you're kind of planning to sell in general. And so to not sell, I think, is probably how they viewed it, right? And I think there is an argument like, okay, well, especially knowing you're without Larkin, should you have gone out and traded for a guy like Wenberg who moved or Nick Dowd who didn't move? I think you could have justified that, and it maybe helps a little. The other side of that argument is you lost 6 in a row right now. Is Nick Dowd or Alex Wenberg really the key difference in turning that in any meaningful way?
Right.
I'd say probably not. So I think they viewed it like a vote of confidence. That's certainly how they tried to spin it. They said that it was about their organizational depth and the guys they could call up. Hasn't worked out, that's for sure. But I think that's how they view it. And whether was it a mistake, was it not, or does this vindicate that? I think you kind of go either way on it.
Mm-hmm. If nothing else, it seems like this will very clearly put something at the top of the to-do list for the summer. If Steve Yzerman didn't already know that he needs more centers. He
get
will
more good well, players.
That's yeah. the worst thing about it, though. Haley is like yeah. that's been their offseason the last been the 2 years. They signed Andrew Kopp and JT Comm for a term. Like, you can't keep giving big contracts in free agency to centers. Like, and they're going to be in cap trouble already this summer. Like, already the Red Wings, I mean, I say already, it's been like 7 years, but mm-hmm. the Red Wings have not accomplished enough yet to have the kind mm-hmm. of cap squeeze that they're going to have this summer. And I think that has a lot of fans on edge for good reason.
That ended up being a problem for the Flames when I was covering them, is it was like, they don't have enough cap space to potentially sign Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk and because they've spent too many off season signing like middle six guys to $5 million contracts. Like, it's not always the big overpay. It's the like middle class that you, that mm-hmm. becomes too big. And you're like, oh no, why do we have all of these good, but like useful depth guys making $6 million?
It doesn't even need to be that.
I spent all my money.
If you overpay a bunch of players by 500 grand, 750 yeah. grand, it adds up. It's death by paper cuts. And it's yeah. happened to many, many teams over the years. Then all of a sudden it's like, hey, we have a mediocre team and we're capped out. What do we do here?
Mm-hmm. So just for my tweet, right? Salvian wants to wipe out the middle class. Is that how I should phrase that?
That's correct.
Okay, great. Thank you.
She's always going on about it.
Yes. Anyways, so to wrap up the East, our favorite / contenders would be the Canes, the Rangers, and the Florida Panthers. And then we kind of have the next tier, which is the challengers, right? And we said Boston, the Islanders. We didn't really talk about the Leafs because, unfortunately, the Leafs just lost again to the Bruins, and it was another one of just like, yeah.
You can find Leafs talk elsewhere on this website, I believe.
There is a Leafs pod. I think it's called Leafs Talk.
Mm-hmm. Leaf Report.
Oh, Leaf shoot. Report. Sorry. That's with James Myrtle and Jonas Siegel. So I think those were the other challengers, was just Boston.
Yeah,
forgot our boss.
The conference is a joke.
Like it's Boston not... and the Islanders. Oh, and Tampa. Like, you can never. We'll just do the blanket statement. Don't yell at me.
I guess
you can never count out the Lightning. We get it. We know. We agree with you. But and they're in the second tier.
I think the Islanders can do damage matchup dependent. I wouldn't take them against Florida, but if they get the Carolina matchup, let's see what happens.
Maybe Matt Barzal will.
They'd have the goaltending.
Be simply too much.
Patrick Waugh has decided to play his best players more than his worst players. It's amazing amazing the effect that can have.
Is that going well?
It seems to be. They're one of the five best teams in the league over the last month.
I know. I said the Islanders have been very good, and then we talked for a while, and then a few minutes later you were like, I don't think we should glaze over how good the Islanders have been. It's like, nobody listens to me. What the heck? Anyways, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Thunderdome. That's the Western Conference. It's coming up next on the Athletic Hockey Show.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, welcome back. It's time to talk about the Western Conference, which we're calling the Thunderdome. That people are calling the Thunderdome. Folks are saying the West is a Thunderdome.
I have a false memory of Kelly McCrimmon calling it the Thunderdome when me and Russo talked to him yesterday. But he but did like actually call it the Thunderdome. He implied it.
Oh. You just like, were like, yeah, he's saying Thunderdome for sure. If Kelly McCrimmon was
shorthand,
being honest, he was just saying the Thunderdome. There's a lot more kind of true contenders and, you know, challengers out of the Western Conference. I mean, it looks like we've talked about it a lot. We talked about it after the deadline. The West, you know, truly had the biggest moves. A lot of the teams beefed up. Ew. The beefy Western Conference.
Big boys, big boy hockey. Is that Pierre?
Yeah.
Am I not wearing my glasses? Am I talking to Pierre LeBrun right now?
Yeah. Why do the Leafs struggle against Western Conference teams? We've said a lot. You know, the Dallas Stars have kind of been our favorite on this show since the beginning of the season. And they have a 15.5% chance at winning the Stanley Cup on Dom's model. So they're one of the true favorites to win the cup for Dom. They're actually sandwiched in between the Florida Panthers and the Carolina Hurricanes as the top three favorites in the league. And then there's the Edmonton Oilers as well. And then a ton of contenders in the West. And I think that's the difference, right? Is it's not just like the favorites and the challengers, like who has upset potential. It's like the favorites, the contenders, then the challengers, then the rest. Like there's more true tiers in the Western Conference. Sean, do you want to start? Do you want to pick your top contender from the Western Conference?
Yeah, sure. And I just to like reinforce what you said, like there is a cliff in the Metro. We're talking about Philly and Detroit and whoever else making, or Philly is still in third place in the Metropolitan Division, like on and on. Ain't the case here. I'm still going Dallas. I know that, you know, there is a certain amount of projection there because we're all sort of assuming that Ottinger's gonna keep it together for a protracted amount of time, and he hasn't been great on balance this season. But man, it's still tough. It's just so tough to look at their roster and look at the depth and also the high end ability, and not say that this is a team that's built, you know, that was built to go far from the jump, and only more so now after adding Tanev. So and Logan Stankoven has been huge since they brought him up. On and on and on. Mm-hmm. There's so much stuff to like about the Stars that, you know, you almost don't want to belabor the point. I feel like we talk about it every week, but.
Yeah, something. Their top nine's unbelievable.
I mean, I picked them. They were my cup pick at the start of the season, and they've done nothing to suggest that.
Yeah.
You know, that was a mistake.
Every time I do a little radio hit with my friend Ailish, she has a Sportsnet show. Every time she's always like, "Do you want to rescind your Stars pick?" I'm like, "Why would I do that?" No. Next question. Because mm-hmm. I picked them to win at the start of the season, and they had asked me that. I was like, yeah, what the heck?
Leave me alone.
No, I'm not going to be changing my answer. They've been at the top of the league all year, and they just got better at the deadline. Max?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with Sean. This is a well-known Dallas Stars podcast, but in the spirit of better radio, I will go with the Avalanche, and just holy cow, that top line looks absolutely terrifying. Nathan MacKinnon is having the kind of season, and I know there's so many MVP candidates. I don't even know that in any other year, we've seen some statistical craziness, but I just think he looks like a terror and like a player who will not be denied.
He scares me.
When you watch a guy like that, it's just, it's easy to think of the possibilities in the playoffs when he's playing, you know, I mean, he is already playing crazy minutes, but you can lean even heavier on him and just see what he can do for you. And he looks like he's in that zone. So I guess I would go Colorado in that way, but you know, in reality, I think the goaltending and depth would lean it to Dallas. But I do think, you know, when you have a star and a collection of stars like they have, you can put a scare into anybody and beat anybody.
It's a huge win for them last night too. McKinnon was great, but now, you know, Val Nichushkin scores to win it. Colton ties it. Middlestead's in the mix now.
Yeah.
Filling just a huge hole that they had.
A much better second line now, right?
Brandon Duhaime adds a lot to a bottom six. I think he's a guy who's just built for playoff hockey. Like that team all of a sudden, because of the moves that they made, their lineup makes perfect sense now.
Yeah. How much more do you like Colton?
That's exactly what I was going to say. How much more do you like Ross Colton now that you're not like, hey man, you're a top six center. Like, good luck. Mm-hmm. He was overextended in that role. But by that same token, man, Ross Colton on a third line. All right. That'll work. Yeah.
Their lines look a lot more balanced, and obviously they're going to have the best top line on most nights, but mm-hmm. they're going to have, like, on those nights where the stars cancel each other out a little bit, the Avs are going to have better role players to step up in the moments that they need, right? Whether it's Casey Mittelstadt or Nichushkin or Ross Colton, Duhaime, like you said, Sean Walker, I think, is on their third pair right now. So that blue line mm-hmm. just looks unbelievable.
You
so
can play Sean Walker in like really sheltered minutes and just let him go out there and try to generate.
Yep.
That's pretty sick. And I think again, like, man, to go back to the stars, their depth is so impressive. I think that Colorado would have had a really, really hard time navigating that 2 weeks ago. And now you're like, okay. Like the mm-hmm. Central specifically, because of those two teams, is what's shaping up to be pretty sick.
Yeah. They look significantly deeper than the Avs team that got beat in the first round of the playoffs last year by Seattle. So the Avs definitely look scary. Is it surprising that we haven't talked about the Oilers yet?
A little, but I'm ready to if that's your pick.
Well, I'm with you guys on, I think the West is a little bit easier, where I think we're all going to be in agreement on these top three or four teams. But I think the Oilers are one of the ones that, like, it's not a debate. I think the Oilers are a serious contender. And very quickly, Sean had mentioned the Avs win last night. They scored four straight to win an OT against mm-hmm. the Vancouver Canucks. That was like a very big Western Conference matchup. Canucks go up 3-0, lose 4-3 in overtime. But yeah, I think the Oilers are a big one. They had a big win last night too. But they've got Connor McDavid. They've got Leon Draisaitl. Evander Kane's on the third line. They've got depth. It's just the Oilers. I don't know. It's just the Oilers. They've got the best player in the world, and I think they surrounded him with enough talent to do some damage this year.
Yeah, guys who can score in the playoffs too, right? Like that to me is the biggest thing with Hyman and Evander Kane, is that, and really, I think you could even go there with Corey Perry too. We'll see how it translates. You know, he's getting up there in years, but they have the right collection, I think, of guys to produce around their stars when inevitably your stars get a little bit of a rougher ride at times in the playoffs. You lean on them a lot, certainly, but they have to show up. But I do have a confidence in the supporting cast now in the Oilers that I feel like has been slowly building over the last 3 or 4 years. And mm-hmm. I think they're at the point now where they can do it any one of these years and it won't be a shock, right?
Mm-hmm.
Since the coaching change, the Oilers have the best expected goals rate in the league, the second best actual goals rate, and are top five in the power play and the penalty kill. And they're a league best 36-12-2.
The deadline moves that they made are not particularly sexy, right? No one's losing their mind over Adam Henrique, but given where they were coming from, given their salary situation and maybe some of the assets that they had to send out, Adam Henrique makes a ton of sense. He's mm-hmm. played with yep. elite players his entire career. He is a left wing at this point overall, but can give you some minutes at center if that's what you need. He can take faceoffs, and again, most importantly, he can mesh with elite mm-hmm. dudes. Like, he's not, you know, you're not going to win a series because of Adam Henrique on his own, but it's a versatile, useful piece to add to, like, say, top nine. Like, it's not bad.
Well, Carrick's
kind
of
a sneaky add too.
I agree with you.
Yeah, we haven't seen him in the playoffs yet, but he does feel like the kind of guy who in the playoffs he'll rise to that, you know, occasion mm-hmm. and give you that role.
Mm-hmm. They have options in that lineup too, as Sean mentioned, with Adam Henrique, and they have a lot of guys who can slide out to the wing, who can play center. We've been seeing the Nugent Hopkins, McDavid, Hyman combo, but like, we've seen that team load up and put McDavid and Draisaitl on the same line and, mm-hmm. and just load up. But now they have a 1-2 punch and then a more balanced third line again with Adam Henrique and Evander Kane. But you can also, if you want to put Henrique up on the top line left wing, put Nugent Hopkins as a 3C. Like, they can mix and match, load up lines, spread out the top nine. So the Oilers are definitely a true contender. Are those the only true contenders in the West? Like, this is where I think it gets a little bit more debatable. Maybe that's unfair. I think the Vegas Golden Knights are a contender in the Western Conference. I know they're in a wild card spot right now, but they did make, behind Jake Guentzel, arguably actually the biggest splash just based on the surprise element of the Tomas Hertl deal. And Sean, you just spoke with Kelly McCrimmon, but do you think the Golden Knights are like a challenger or a true contender in the Western Conference?
I mean, McCrimmon's the first guy to say, like, hey, we're in a wild card spot. We need to make sure that we take care of business here, like, over the next month or so. But assuming this, you know, I agree, but assuming that happens, mm-hmm. I think is also fair. It's impossible to look at what they did at the deadline and not think this team is an absolute danger, regardless of who they play, regardless of what round it happens in. If Hurdle comes back, and it seems like that's going to happen. If Anthony Mantha integrates himself to the middle six, if Noah Hanifin is the best number three defenseman in the league,
he's on the top pair right now.
I know. Oh, you know what I mean, though.
Yeah, like, I know.
Like, he might be their third best defenseman is probably the best way to put it. Sure. And that's sick. Like, the fact that that's even a point you can raise about him on that team is kind of unbelievable. So the talent's overwhelming. You know, the results have been uneven. I think, too, is to some extent, Vegas did need to go out and make those trades, which is kind of everyone acts like that this is just the rich getting richer. And to some extent it is, like, that's a super talented team that just won a Stanley Cup, but they needed it for the stretch run. They just loaded up in a very serious way.
At the deadline, they had lost 9 of 11.
Yeah, right? They'd been really bad.
Yeah, that's like the scary thing here. And I don't think they're going to miss the playoffs. Like, the gap between them and the wildcard challenges, I think, is enough that they can afford to have some hiccups integrating Hanifin and Hurdle. But I do think, like, I have a little trepidation putting them in the same category as the teams we just talked about, because mm-hmm. like we just watched, I mean, even now after winning two straight, they've lost 9 of 13. Like, it's a little hard.
Yeah. Anthony Mantha, Noah Hanifin, and Tomas Hertl, all without sacrificing a single roster player, is like pretty impressive. And like, Shea Theodore's on the second pair right now. Like, they're once everything's settled and you get Mark Stone back, that team's just going to be ridiculous. They just have to get in.
How about the first round projection there? The projected matchup in the first round for them.
Ooh, yeah. So, if the playoffs started today, we would have a Canucks Golden Knights first round. And then it would be Stars Jets Oilers Kings, which has been fun over the last few years. And then Avs Preds. And
imagine specifically if it's game one of the playoffs and Mark Stone is back, and
Canucks, you know, fans would freak out.
They're going to lose it. Like, any team, any fan base, understandably, would lose it.
Yeah,
that.
Jets fans, Stars fans, they all would.
Doesn't matter. Everybody would freak out. The Canucks fan base is particularly situated to go ballistic. If that's what ends up happening,
maybe they'll finally change. The Canucks fans, you can be the change you want to see in the world.
The only franchise that's ever been meaningfully punished for having someone hurt against the franchise that is developing the reputation for benefiting off of their guys being hurt.
We should do a deep dive, like, audio pod on the Luongo cap recapture.
I can't believe the cap recapture exists. It still boggles my mind that that is something mm-hmm. that was thought of, implemented, accepted.
Yeah.
It is out of control.
Yeah. So Canucks fans, like, you're not wrong.
I called a labor lawyer whenever that happened and was like, hey, why is this?
What's happening?
How is this allowed?
Mm-hmm. Seems like were they like not sure? Seems weird.
They were, yeah, I mean, kind of. Confused. But that's always shorthand for like the NHL does what they want. They can make up shit. They can make up shit and put it in place as sure. they see fit in a lot of regards. There is stuff out there that is not collectively bargained that they have, and they have no problem putting their thumb on the scale and just making shit up as they go. And cap or mm-hmm. capture is like example A, B, and C to that.
So speaking of the Vancouver Canucks, that could be a nightmare first round matchup for a team that has been one of the best in the league standings. And yet Dom actually has them as a dark horse in his kind of, they have a 3.8% chance at winning the Stanley Cup. And of course, people were enraged by that because this team is at the top of the NHL standings. What do we think? Vancouver Canucks is a dark horse, unfair for a team that's been consistently very good this season.
Yes.
I think so. Yeah. I think they should be a contender, but yeah, like a matchup could go wrong for them, but I don't think that they're a dark horse.
You can't invalidate the work that they've done over the course of the season, right? And the things that they do, the people, the pieces that they've had, the play that they've gotten from the top of their lineup, even if you just limit it to Pettersson and Hughes and Demko, mm-hmm. like just we'll say that those are their big three. Like that's what separates them for me from other sort of PDO merchant teams that we've seen over the years is that mm-hmm. they have that elite talent, especially in net. That allows them to that you know augments you know yeah maybe some luck here and there and some hot streaks, but you know having those guys at the top of your lineup helps, and I'm not willing to throw that away. And I'm certainly not willing to say 3.8%, like that doesn't seem right to me.
No,
and give Lindholm another month to acclimate there, and let's see what he's doing at that point, right? Like he's got a month till the playoffs start.
Yeah,
he's got a head start on that. Yeah,
another month without like more trade rumors going on. And yes. I know, like, come on, like I think his. So I'd like seen on social media, like him and his fiance, like they have a new baby, and he moved to Vancouver by himself. Like I know people care about the on ice, but like that seems really tough. And she finally moves to Vancouver just for him to be in trade rumors again. Like that's tough for a human being to go through. So just like give them a little time to like figure it out.
I would also think he probably got some assurance from the team that that was deeply unlikely to happen. I don't think they were letting him flap in the breeze all that much, but yeah, I mean seven points in 18 games is tough, man. That's a tough break, and he's gonna need to play better for people to feel good. If they are gonna be better, I'll say this, if they are gonna be better than a 4% or 5% chance or meaningfully better, they're gonna need him to kick it up a couple notches.
Sure. I think they've got an elite core, though. Like, JT Miller's been great. Brock Besser. Like, yeah, I think having the Canucks as a dark horse is unfair. We should keep an eye. Thatcher Demko is week to week, which is devastating for me. Mm-hmm. I had to pick up Justin. I had to pick up Jonathan Quick in fantasy, but I'm still going to beat Max this week. So,
badly.
It's fine.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Max, were you going to go a different direction now?
Yeah, I wanted to know where you guys are at on Winnipeg here, because I feel like we've talked about them all year as a team that, you know, how's it going to end up for them, and how long can they sustain this? They have sustained it. Like, there's no doubt about that. But I'm still having a really hard time getting excited about their lineup and their matchup against anybody beyond Connor Hellebuyck. And they have Connor Hellebuyck, so that's a big thing. But I just, yeah, you know, they match up with Dallas. I don't think they've beaten the Stars this year, because the Stars, I just like the lineup so much better, and they have Ottinger. They have had success against the Avalanche this year. But I just still question, how is their lineup going to hold up against what the Avs can put together in the playoffs? And I think by numbers, we should be talking about them in this conversation. I'm having a hard time getting there.
So I think in terms of like matchup, you're right. Like, I think if we're looking at Jets versus Avs, or Jets versus Golden Knights or Stars, whatever, like, yeah, that's going to be a tougher matchup because the West is so good. And I think that's more a credit to how good the conference is, not so much that the Jets are bad. And I don't think that they're just a product of Connor Hellebuyck. I would argue that this is the first time in a while that the Jets have been more than just Connor Hellebuyck. Like, he doesn't need to be a Vezda caliber goalie for this team to be good. And I say that while also acknowledging that he's a legitimate Hart Trophy candidate, and he could save like 10 goals above expected more than the next best goalie in the NHL. Like, he's been unbelievable, but the Jets have a ton of depth. Like, I'm looking at their depth chart right now. Like, Cole Perfetti's on the fourth line. I know he's not some superstar stud, but like, we're talking about Kyle Connor, Mark Scheifele, Tyler Toffoli's on the second line, Nikolai Ehlers, Nino Niederreiter. Like, they've got a lot of guys. Josh Morrissey. And they've got the best goalie in the NHL. If we're talking about a team with depth and a goalie who could steal a playoff series, I don't know. I've been more of like a Jets truther this year than I think I ever have been. So I push back on the, they're just Hellebuyck.
Well, but it's depth without the top though, right? Like,
but Kyle Connor was, before he got hurt, really he was good. One of the best goal scorers in the league.
He's heated up lately too. I think like, if they wouldn't have gotten out and got Toffoli, I would have probably
ejected, he's going to score 30 again, and he's on the second
from the conversation.
Line.
Like Toffoli, and Max, I totally agree with you. I think they have depth, but no high end in a lot of ways, and that's what their problem is going to be. But I think the Toffoli ad is what keeps them on the fringe of this conversation for me. Like, it's not great. You know, I don't think you'll want Mark Scheifele is the 1C still on a true high end contender, and you can say that at several points throughout their lineup. Sean Monahan's giving them something. He's scored a bunch of goals since they acquired it from Montreal, which is great for them. Toffoli is a big addition to the mix though, and I think if he weren't around, I'd be like, okay, we can, you know, kind of disregard them, because like,
yeah,
especially in a world where they're cruising for Dallas or Colorado at some point in the Eastern or in the Central Division playoffs.
So what I will say too, and not to be a fence sitter, because I am Jets truther, but like, in terms of the like elite player matchup, which I think what you mean, Max, in terms of like the top, like, yeah, I'm going to take Nathan MacKinnon over Mark Scheifele. I'm going to take Connor McDavid over Mark Scheifele. I'm going to take Roope Hintz probably over Mark Scheifele, right? So when you match their elite players, same with Elias Pettersson and JT Miller, like when you match up the Jets like elite forwards up against the other Western Conference contenders elite forwards, the Jets I think do pale in comparison a bit. But I think they're, when you're looking at their complete package kind of in a vacuum, I like the Jets team more than I have. And I just think the whole like they're just Hellebuyck thing does a disservice to the fact that team has been like, they've got depth, but you're right, in terms of the elite core, you're going to take other, like the most elite core groups also happen to be in their conference, in their division, and they just don't match up the same way.
And I'll say, I am a believer that if you have really favorable matchups with lines 3 and 4, like that can neutralize some of that, mm-hmm. some of that gap. Right? Like, I do believe that it's the blue line too, though. Right. It's like I, and I know mm-hmm. I'm still trying to kind of catch up, I think, to the kind of company Josh Morrissey belongs in. Mm-hmm. Maybe it doesn't go there organically for me, but beyond him, it's really hard to get that fight. Like we just talked about where Sean Walker Dylan slotted Sandberg. On the abs. Yeah, like compare the Avs blue line or the Stars blue line to the mm-hmm. Jets blue line. And maybe Connor Hellebuyck neutralizes all of that. Maybe the forward depth neutralizes all of that. It's hard for me to arrive at that conclusion.
Mm-hmm. Especially if the first round matchup is going to be Stars Jets. But Hellebuck's been better than every other goalie in the league. And Ottinger has been just fine. And I say this as someone who picked the Dallas Stars to win the Stanley Cup.
We're not picking Winnipeg to make the playoffs. We're not talking about teams that are good. Like that's not what the discussion right. is. Like,
yeah,
they are.
Who can win
they
a
are.
Cup.
They will.
Yeah.
It's that. That's also. I mean, they're a top 10, top 5 team. I mean, they have been totally regardless of Hellebuyck, right? And that's something they've been unable to say. But like in a playoff series against the Dallas Stars or Colorado Avalanche or the Vancouver mm-hmm. Canucks or whoever, like I can't get there with them just yet.
Are there any other contenders? I don't think the Kings are going to win a Stanley Cup this year. I could eat my words on that maybe, but like I think the Kings are, we've seen the Kings have kind of like a fun upset against, or they haven't had a fun upset against the Oilers in the first round of the playoffs. I think it was the Jets that upset the Oilers in the first round a few years ago. I just remember that because I tweeted that really funny sketch meme of like, call an ambulance, but not for me. That was when the Jets beat them in the first round. That's why it's still my favorite video ever. Like, are the Kings going to beat the Oilers in the first round? I don't know.
I wouldn't pick them to.
I don't think so either.
I can't get there.
We can't be much like the Islanders. I don't think we could be surprised by any Kings early playoff shenanigans, right? Like they've kind of earned that right as a core. But I think it's a similar conversation to some of these teams that we've definitely good, right? Like Kings playoff team, definitely good. Maybe they're in the category kind of with the Lightning, I guess is maybe a better comp. Here,
yeah, but, I think they're a true dark horse. Like whereas Dom had the Canucks as a dark horse, I think the Kings are more of a dark horse than the Vancouver Canucks would be, right?
Yeah. The Canucks have the second most points in the NHL?
Yeah. Yeah. But they're a dark horse contender. Dom's model's broken.
I gotta give him credit, man. He sticks to his guns.
Yeah.
91 projected points for Vancouver at the start of the season.
Dark horse contender.
They're past that already.
Yes, they are.
What happened there? Anyways,
there's always one.
Yeah.
The exception proves the rule.
Yeah. Somebody asked me the other day, are the Seattle Kraken officially cooked, like not going to make the playoffs? I'm like, haven't they been? Like, what do you mean? Are they finally cooked? I'm like, what do you mean? I haven't looked at the Kraken as a contender in months.
They're 9 points. Did I miss something? They're 9 points behind Vegas and 12 points behind Nashville. Yes. And with two other teams, they have three.
They asked me this yesterday.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like,
what do you mean?
And the Blues.
you guys are a couple games off pace for the Blues in the Wild. It is over.
Yeah. Who do we think is going to make that final? This is the last question before we get out of here, guys. Who's gonna make that final Western Conference playoff spot? Is it going to be the Preds? Is that what we feel the most confident in?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Because again, the alternative is picking the Blues or the Wild. Are you crazy? I'm not doing that. The Preds have been great.
Yeah. They had an interesting deadline. I like GM Barry.
I think Jason Zucker is a perfect fit for them because the contract expires. It costs them nothing. You can say like, hey, here's a pro that we've added. You know, go out and try to win the right to get stomped by, you know, Colorado in the first round or whatever.
All right. Very quickly, do we have a Stanley Cup pick?
Dallas.
Yeah, I'm not changing my... Max, you can't say the Stars.
Have
it's not allowed.
Have some integrity.
I took Florida over Dallas in the staff picks.
Love it.
Portal today.
Spicy.
Love both teams.
That's fun. Okay, great. Well, thanks everyone for listening to another episode of the Athletic Hockey Show. Just a reminder, you can leave us a 5-star rating and review if you are enjoying the show. And if you're not, I don't want to hear your opinion. And right now, you can get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic for $1 a month when you visit theathletic.com/hockey show. That was our post deadline vibe check on the Stanley Cup race, the playoff race. I don't know. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks, Sean. Thanks, Max. We'll be back next week.